My name is Angie Fox. I've been a business owner since the age of 19, and I love being my own boss. Let me tell you about my co-host, Malcolm. He is infectious. You will crave his thoughts and love his voice. Now, but when we interview, if I could only get a word in edgewise, Malcolm.
Hey, Angie, it's good to be with you. This is Malcolm Out Loud. Welcome, folks, to the Enlightened Entrepreneur. It's good to be with you here. And you know, I've known Angie for quite a few years, and she is one of the smartest and strongest women I know. Classy, brilliant, hey, she even handpicked me to co-host. It ought to be a blast, guys. Let's do it, Angie.
Welcome to the Enlightened Entrepreneurs. I'm Angie Fox, along with my co-host, Malcolm Out Loud. And today, we have a very interesting person we're going to interview. His name is Ivar Fiska. He has been doing traveling for European groups into Cuba for many, many years. But in the last 5 to 6 years, he's been taking Americans down there on the regular basis. In fact, this very morning, he had a group of lawyers that were going down to Cuba for the week. And it's been fascinating. Cuba is a hot, bustling topic right now, buzzing topic. And we love what we want to hear about what Ivar has to say, not only about those trips down to Cuba, but also his leadership and the risks he's taken as an entrepreneur.
Fantastic. Well, this is Malcolm Out Loud here. Thanks for being with us today, folks, and the Enlightened Entrepreneurs. Great to bring another production to you and introduce you to Ivar Fiska. I'm anxious to find out more about this. You know, this whole Cuba connection is obviously very new and very cool, but not so new for Ivar. So we're going to start off here with what we call the Enlightened Round. The Enlightened Round. And this is an area of the show where we get to know Ivar a little bit more and just some back and forth on some things. So let's start here, Ivar. If I might ask you, inspire us a moment and our listeners, your favorite quote and why?
Do good, you get good. That's my favorite. That's how you treat other people, and that's how you could expect to be treated back. And I try to live by that, and that I believe has worked very well for me.
Yeah, I like that strategy, Angie. Do good, you get good back. And really, we all kind of have, most of us have that sense, I think, about what goes around comes around, huh?
I really do believe that. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Ivar, I think one of the other things I love is that so many people don't know who to trust when they're traveling to a different area or unknown places, and I know you're a man to trust, so that's been wonderful.
Well, I really appreciate that, Angie. I think there's a lot of people in business today and, you know, different companies, and of course, a lot of people are focusing on Cuba now. There's companies out there, and I think that trust is something you just can't just expect. It's something that you have to earn. And when you build a relationship with a client or with a company, and they feel that you have treated them fair and worked out any problems that have occurred or anything like that, they come back to you and they feel comfortable. So I think that the trust factor is very important.
Absolutely. Now, Ivar, how do you get your morning routine started? How do you start your day?
I'm a very hyper person. I probably have this ADH thing. And I start out with my black coffee and I have a nice jog. And then I have my breakfast. And then I head to the office, just checking some emails and heading to the office.
Sounds like a good way to start the day, huh, Malcolm?
It does. You know, Angie, I want to share something with you and Ivar and our listeners that I think is a very interesting point that came to me the other day in something that I was reading and taking on. And, you know, when we go to bed at night, some of the more successful people, they sort of plant an idea in their mind, and they sort of resonate with that idea. So as they're sleeping, their you know, subconscious mind is thinking about all of this, whatever it might be. The next morning, or every morning when you get up, a lot of us go right for the coffee, as you say, Ivar, or we go for the news, or we go for the phone. I mean, how many of us, I mean, we all look at the phone. We want to know what calls we miss, what texts, what breaking news. Is the world still in one piece? piece. But actually, this particular style, this one of these people shared with us and said, you know, they don't take no input in their morning routine. They want to only output. So before they look at the phone, before they look at news, before they do anything, they go over and they just sort of let their mind resonate with what they've been thinking through the night in their subconscious, and they write their thoughts down. Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, I have to admit that after I have my coffee and done my volume, I'm kind of a news junkie, so I love to, my favorite channel, I mean, turn on CNN, get the morning news, and read the Tampa Bay Times, and get some. So that's like something I kind of, that's a part of my routine.
Yeah.
But like you said, in the beginning, it's not the first thing. It's not the turning on my phone. It's not the first thing I'm doing.
Yeah, and that's what they're saying here, Angie, which is, you know, like, okay, maybe you're better to, you know, let your mind output rather than input your brain. I don't know. There's something fascinating about that to me, you know?
I would agree with that, because a lot of times we dream at night, but we don't necessarily remember what we were
exactly.
dreaming. And I'm a business person, so I'm always dreaming business solutions and so forth. So I think if you just let what happened through the night, through the rest that you had process, and you're able to put your collective thoughts down on paper or even type yourself a note or whatever, I think that's an excellent idea. So instead of being bombarded with information right away that you're trying to process, allow that time that you had to rest to process.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's very important, you know, to kind of be cleansed in a way, have it clear, and then it's easier to focus later yeah. on.
Ivar, let me ask you this. What's the one book you recommend and why? What's your best book people got to read?
I have to admit that, I'm not a big book reader. I read a lot of magazines and newspapers and news, but I have read the book, The Art of the Deal, and I was very fascinated.
Was you? Wow, with the Donald Trump, you mean, yeah?
Right.
Yeah, have you read that, Angie, that book?
I have not read that book, but I do like some of the things that Donald has written about, and I love his business acumen, so.
Yeah. Just real quickly, what's the big lesson? Is there one big lesson you share with us that you get from The Art of the Deal?
Yeah, I would say, especially when it comes to, in life, we have to take... if you really want to be where you want to be and get success, there are certain risks that you have to take. And also the thing about negotiation, where you always have to start, at the point and try to, even if you, if you want to reach a certain point, you're starting from a totally different point, and then you negotiate and you might get to that where you want to be. It's a whole thing. I mean, you got to go into the book and
right.
see the different things that they're right. talking about. But things like that have taught me a lot.
I have your next question, Ivar. What is one website that everyone should know about? You know, we know the usual suspects, Google, LinkedIn, Facebook, but what's a website you like to use that you'd like to share with others?
Angie, that's an easy one. It's TampaToCuba.com. That's Tampa to Cuba with number two. Tampa, number two, Cuba.com.
Why is it the best website, Ivar?
It's the best website because it's very easy to maneuver on it. And it's if you are in Tampa Bay, it's the only one that can really explain to you the flights from here and the packages we have from here. And that makes it a lot more convenient.
Ivar, within all of your business practices and what you do, what's the best social media tool that you couldn't live without?
Facebook. I do a lot of stuff on Facebook. People comment on their trips on that. That's an important thing. But of course, social media is something that is definitely very popular. But I think that certain products and certain services are better aimed for social media than others.
I would agree with that most certainly. And I think it's important, too, that you vet what you put onto social media, you know, are careful about what you put out there. Ivar, I have one more question for you in our lightning round. What is one secret ingredient that makes you excel as an entrepreneur? What's one secret ingredient that you have?
I would say hard work, determination. I believe that action is very important. I personally have been in many, worked with projects, worked with team with people, and it's a lot of talk and talk and talk and no action. Just take the first step. Don't be afraid of getting, see the wall, seeing obstacles. Go for it. And that kind of thing is very important, because a lot of people today are, they look at the project and they see what's going to be involved, and just by looking at it and see, oh, do you think I can get that done? Do I need that permit? I need a lot. And then before they even start on it, they turn the whole thing down because they don't think they'll be able to do it. And that's something that I have learned over the years, that I have been able to just go for it and just go through all that. And I believe when you start something, you are halfway done. And I think that's something that a lot of people could learn.
Yeah, that's a very, very good advice, Ivar. And really, it does come down to the fact that, you'll never know unless you try in life.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, you got to take the leap here. And that's part of what you said also with the book, with The Art of the Deal. But I believe that totally, wholeheartedly here. So, well, that is a good secret ingredient. We all need to play by those rules. Well, we're speaking with Ivar Fiske, and entrepreneur extraordinaire, and doing a lot of these fascinating trips now from America to Cuba, which has really been a big headline story. Angie Fox and I will be back with Making Your Mark in just a moment here. Stay with us. We are back with you. Welcome to the Enlightened Entrepreneurs. We're speaking with Ivar Fiske and finding a lot about the Cuba connection today, but really getting into his entrepreneur and his leadership skills. We know our segment of the show is Making Your Mark. Making Your Mark. And really, this is an area of the show where it's more conversational, free flow, but simply still a format so we can get the very best from Ivar. And let's start here, Ivar. It's a question I think a lot of people wonder, and I don't know that a lot of people really always have the answer, but what do you think? Are entrepreneurs and leaders, are they born or are they made?
I would say to that question, I would say both are possible, but I do believe strongly that most of them are born in a certain, born with this special way of thinking. I mean, you could be made, but I think most of them are born like that.
Yeah, that's. I think there's some truth to that, probably. I think a lot of people would agree with that. But you have to have, what you're saying, is a certain DNA, certain qualities in you that you're willing, well, be kind of a risk taker, like what we've been talking about, right?
Right. I think that from when we grow up, and we grew up in the different areas and part of the world, but I think that honestly, from childhood and back, some people just goes out to lead others. Some people are followers, and some people are leaders. Some people feel comfortable walking a couple steps behind the leader, and do things. And that's good. I mean, we need all kind of people. But
yeah, exactly.
I just think that the leader, like you said, actually, it starts in your young age, and that's where you see a kind of which people will be becoming leader. And that develops in the very, very, very early stage, I believe.
It's what makes the world go around, actually. And I remember, Angie, in early business, where we were doing those personality tests, the Myers-Briggs, and you'd kind of know, are they an S? Are they, what are they exactly, And you try to figure that out. But, we all have a place in this world, I think, yeah?
I would agree. I think what can happen is you have the earmarks for leadership, even as a child on the playground or with your friends, or you're the one that people look up to. And then as you get older, if you embrace that and you start your own business, which is certainly a risk, you just thrive then in that setting. And speaking of that, Ivar, I want to ask you your next question. All of us got our start somewhere. Who gave you your first big break? How did that happen for you?
I guess it was in New York. I came over, was 24 years old, and I think my years in New York and my friends and the people I met there motivated me to do what I did and started in the tourism business. I think the New York environment and my first years, New York was my first stop in this country. So I do think, yeah, but of course it's within myself. But I think that the New York and what we say, the American dream and the possibilities that these countries offer people from different parts of the world really inspired me a lot and made me do what I did.
Ivar, what's the cardinal rule to becoming a standout entrepreneur and or leader? What's the one cardinal rule you have to follow?
Discipline and hard work.
Discipline. Interesting. Yeah, interesting way to put it.
What I mean with that, maybe to be more, it's very hard. Sometimes people said to me years ago, Ivar, you have your own business. You don't have to work today, do you? You just have to, you know, you have your office, you have this, and you could just do whatever. So, no, they have a totally wrong thing. You have, the difference is that you go to work and you need to work on this project or you need to sell this product or whatever, but you still go with you. You don't leave the office in 5 o'clock and then you kind of clean your mind. Oh, no. No, I can do other. You always carry it with you. You go home with it. You sleep with it, like you said. You wake up with it. It is, and you have to be disciplined, and you have to have a certain routine and tasks for every day, or everything will just flow. So I think self-discipline to be able to take those tasks and do that is very important.
I would agree with that with Ivar. You have to remain focused as an entrepreneur, otherwise you can be stretched everywhere in every way. So, Ivar, I have the next question for you. Of the greatest success in your career, you know, your greatest success, when you think back on that, how did you celebrate, and what was that great success?
Greatest success, that was a big thing when I started to charter my own aircraft between Minneapolis and Oslo, wide-body aircraft with 300. That was a big thing, and I said, oh, if I can do that, there's a lot of things I can do. But that was, a breaking point in my career when I saw that I was capable of go to the airline in the U.S. and charter them and start a series of flights between Oslo, Norway, and Minneapolis. That was a main thing, and also an opening thing to other things that I was doing. And I had success with that, and then that really made a turning point.
Well, it obviously led you to a lot of what you're doing today. Very clearly, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What is your kryptonite? We all have a kryptonite. What's yours?
I guess I can be. My weakness is. I have. We all have some weakness. I guess I could be sometimes too trusting. Trusting people maybe too much sometimes, and sometimes in the past I have regretted that. But I am. Honestly, I am very trusty. I would like to trust people. I learned hard lessons too, but there may be that some weaknesses I have. Maybe sometimes too nice, where I actually shouldn't be nice.
Well, you know, speaking of that, Ivar, how do you deal with difficult people? I'm sure you run into them in your line of work. How do you deal with the difficult people in your life?
I guess there's only one word for that, and that would be patient. I mean, you have to have patience in this. There's no way you make it. And you have to, there's something saying that the customer is always right. And that is right. You have to, and patience is very important here because you have to deal with all kind of personalities and people. Some of them are very strong. Some of them are, you know. So I think the word would be patient. That's what I would say.
Yeah, that is really good advice, I think, that we all could live by and learn by, you know. Single best advice, Ivar, you've ever been given?
I would say do what you love.
Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I have to say. I love what I'm doing. I am happy going to work every day. Every day I wake up, I feel I'm alive and I can move and I can do. That's a part of, you know, I think a lot of people today are unhappy because they feel like they are working 8 or 9 hours and they do something they don't like. They just do it because they have to do it. And they all need a paycheck, of course. But I think that's something that, you know, I would say recover that. Do what you love. That will be my advice.
Yeah, that's good advice.
Ivar, Very good advice. Ivar, our next question would be, if somebody is starting out on their career path, what advice would you have for them? And I want to be specific about this. A lot of people are wondering about doing business with Cuba. What advice would you have for entrepreneurs, for leaders who want to get involved that are Americans with working in Cuba?
I would say that if you work with Cuba, maybe you have made connections there, I would say be very humble. Because of the history that we have between the United States and Cuba, which has been a lot of bad stuff in the past, Cubans, like I mentioned earlier, it has a lot of skepticism to what's taking place now with all these new changes. So if you show them that you are humble and you are willing to follow their directions and work with them, and they kind of feel trust, that's the best advice. Don't try to take these style of we know what's the best, we are business people coming from the US, I want you to do so and so. That doesn't work with the Cubans, I can tell you right now. You have to be humble and you have to listen, and then you can come very far in Cuba. Of course, Cuba, there's a lot of difficulties to get things done there because they have a tremendous bureaucracy, but that would be the approach I will advise.
What is the single best sacrifice you've made in your career to get here?
The thing is, probably leave my, in my case, would have been left my closest family in Norway. I'm the only one in this country. When I was young, that was a big sacrifice to leave my parents, my brothers and sisters, which they can see each other every day. I see them once a year. That was a big sacrifice for what I had to do in order to achieve my my goals.
That's a big sacrifice.
That's a huge sacrifice.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So we understand that one for sure.
And Ivar, to wrap up with our last question, if you had 2 minutes to share with your 21-year-old self, what would you say to that gentleman? What would you say to yourself if you were 21? If you had a few minutes to spend with yourself when you were 21 years old, what would you say to yourself?
That's a good one. I would say, if I was 21 years old, what to say to myself? I would say, keep going, I think. keep going. I don't regret anything. What I've done, I mean, things hasn't always worked the way you wanted it to work, but the path and where I am, and I would have done it all over again.
You are a good man. I can sense with your answers, and a very spirited man. And I compliment you, Ivar Fisker, very much. Tell us again how folks can really track you down, your contact points, your websites again, and email or what have you. You know, they may be interested in one of these things that you're doing on one of the trips. So how do we find you?
Yeah, I mean, the main thing is that you can go to Tampa, and then you don't write T-O, but Tampa, number 2 Cuba.com, and you can see the tours, you can see the regulations, you can see how we work, and you see how you can get hold of me. And our phone number is 727-796-CUBA, 727-796-CUBA.
And obviously you're on Facebook, you've mentioned that, so people can like
you. I'm not personally on Facebook, but we have a Facebook site for the Tampa to Cuba for the business.
The corporate page. Okay, got it. Very good. All right, Ivar Fisker, we will look you up, sir. And Angie, you've already taken some of these trips, and you've traveled with them, and you speak very highly of it, huh?
I really do. Like we think we mentioned earlier in the interview about trust, and that's one of the questions I get from people who've never been to Cuba before. You know, can you trust this tour operator? Are we going to be at the places? What's the quality of the hotel we're staying at? All those sort of things. And Ivar, everything that he has said has come true, and that's the best mark of being a great entrepreneur and business owner, is being a person of your word.
Wow. And he's already, that's good. He's already, given that, if you study a lot of his answers that he gave, they would lead you to that conclusion, Angie, you know?
Absolutely.
Well, we all learned something a little bit new with Cuba. Quite fascinating talking to Ivar Fisker. Stay right there. Angie and I will be right back with you with Agree or Disagree as the Enlightened Entrepreneurs continue. Well, we're back with you here with the Enlightened Entrepreneurs, and this is the part of the show where we agree or disagree. And, you know, a lot of the focus with Ivar and was really this fascinating life that he has and with Cuba, Angie. And you sort of know him because you actually traveled with him to Cuba, right?
That's correct. I've been down to Cuba 3 times in the last year and absolutely fell in love with Cuba. The first time I was there, had to go back. And what I feel very blessed about is that Ivar Fiske, and he's a tour operator, and his groups, everything that he said that he was going to do, the places we were going to stay, the things we were going to do, all came true. And I think that's one of the things when I get asked by people, you know, can I trust this person? Can, you know, is everything going to be okay? Are we going to be okay? Are we going to be safe? You know, is our money worth it? Are we getting the value for our money? He's done all of that. And that's why I feel so honored that we were able to interview him today and talk a little bit more about his business.
So you've had a really good experience with him as a leader because you've seen him in operation. So you obviously, a lot of his answers were quite fascinating, really. So you totally agree with his style then and what he has shared with us today.
I do agree, and I think one of the most important things is, you know, continuing these relations with Cuba. Other entrepreneurs that I know that are excited about doing business down there, Ivar had a very specific point, is to be humble. And I think that's one of the things. We are aggressive Americans. We are ambitious. We want things done quickly. And a lot of times when Ivar has to call or get a reservation for the hotels, it may take a week before he gets an answer back. And we're so used to in America, you know, if you haven't texted us back in 15 minutes, what's wrong?
That's right.
So I think just being patient and being humble, like he said, I totally agree with that as we take our time. But I do also, Malcolm, believe there is a world of opportunity down there in Cuba that will be unfolding within the next, you know, several years.
Yeah, it's fascinating how it's all opened up. It was obviously very controversial when the Obama administration elected to do this. You know, Cuba has been very politicized, Angie, with politicians all along. And I've reported on this for years now. But to me, as far as I'm concerned, the only thing this embargo hurt and the only thing it penalized was the Cuban people.
Well, that's absolutely right. And I think what has happened is what people, Americans, forget is that Europeans, for example, and Canadians have been traveling into Cuba all along. It's only us that have been, you know, in this sort of jail. So or not allowed to go there. So what I find exciting about this is having a renewed respect for Cuba. You know, from Tampa, for example, it's just a quick little over an hour flight. It's going to be really amazing to see how it unfolds. And the other thing too, Malcolm, is this fall, they'll be starting commercial travel, commercial flights between Miami, Tampa, et cetera, into Havana and to other cities in Cuba. That's going to make a huge difference in access to those areas.
Yeah, I heard that was going to start. So it starts in the fall time, Angie?
It does. It starts in the fall. They're supposed to be picking the routes and the flights by this summer and then awarding those between 90 and 120 days later to the airlines that have been awarded those particular flights. Now, I know like Silver Airways, for example, is going to go into some of the smaller cities, and American Airlines, Southwest Airlines, Delta are going to be going into Havana and some of the larger cities. So it should be very interesting. The other thing is, though, you still have to travel on what's called a people-to-people visa. There are 12 categories to get into Cuba. The one I always travel on is the educational one, where you're learning about the culture and the people there. But they have journalism, they have medical, they have religious. There are different types of visas. But at this point, as an American, we still must travel on a very specific visa about what type of work we're going to do down there, what we're going to explore.
Interesting, yeah. Well, it's interesting to see the market open, and I certainly celebrate the culture, celebrate the Cuban people, and celebrate Ivar Fiske. Really good show, and I think I learned a little bit about this whole thing in Cuba, and I do find it quite fascinating, Angie, so it's good production.
It is, Malcolm, and it's great. And I want you to go to Cuba sometime. Let's go down there and bring the Enlightened Entrepreneurs down to Cuba, Havana.
That would be cool. I think, you know, we should talk to Ivar a little more about that. There's something fascinating about the whole market. I'm very intrigued by it. And, you know, it's sort of unvarnished in its natural setting. I get the sense of Cuba, and I think about, you know, like a part of the world that, like, where I don't know if this is a good description or not, Angie, but my description of it is like where time stood still. Is that an analogy you might use? Or?
It really is. I think one of the things is when I walked out of the airport in Havana for the first time at Jose Marti Airport, and I saw the old cars. Now, I knew that there was going to be cars from the 50s down there, you know, vintage American cars. But Malcolm, it's every other car. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And the way that the Cuban people have kept those in good working order and condition and taking care of them, I mean, they don't have a, you know, an auto parts store down a Midas down the corner. They don't have any of that. So they've had to improvise and make use of what they have, and it's just remarkable.
Do you think the motion picture business and all the entertainment business will start to really sparkle in Cuba with all this happening?
I would certainly hope so. I also think, you know, one of the basic things that they need are the things that we take advantage of and probably take for granted. Having a Home Depot, you know, having a Lowe's, having something where you know, if you break a door handle, you can go get a new one, or if you need a new toilet seat. Those are just some basic things that they don't have down there. A Walgreens on the corner. Oh, my gosh. They would go into a Walgreens and think it's Christmas. It's, you know, it's just absolutely amazing.
Or imagine having a Havana Out Loud.
Oh, Havana Out Loud would be awesome, Malcolm. I would love that.
Man,
everybody be tuning in.
That'd be quite the swinging place. But anyways, Angie, it's been fun. Thanks for being with us today, folks. This is Malcolm Out Loud. Thanks for being with us at the Enlightened Entrepreneurs.